All right, welcome everyone. I'm Stephen Robertson. This is Thursday evening's Giving Children Hope with Donna Ferris and Tanis. I will let you take it over, Donna.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Stephen, and thank you to the internet links, radio links that are airing us tonight, and to everybody that's listening. Tanis, I want to give you a chance to say hello, too, before we introduce our very special guest tonight.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for the show tonight, Stephen, hosting it.
You're welcome.
Yes. And tonight, we're welcoming back Charles Stecker, Jr. He was on the show with us a few weeks ago, and we've asked him actually to come back to kind of talk more about his Turn Up the Volume tour. He is the founder and executive director of the International Child Abuse Prevention Task Force, as well as Charlie's Angels. As we've asked him to come back tonight, we want to know what we can do to kind of get this Turn Up the Volume Child Abuse Prevention Tour going. So welcome, Charles. Thank you for coming back on the show with us tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me back, everyone, and welcome to all our listeners. And I'm excited to know that tonight we're definitely going to have some call-ins and we're going to be able to answer some questions.
Yes, we are. That's right. I'm excited, too. This is going to be a great show. You know, the way we've done this is we've actually advertised asking children and adults, everybody and anybody, to call in tonight because we need everybody's help. We want to get this tour going, and it's going to take all of us to do it. The way we've been starting the shows is, you know, through scripture reading. Tanis starts the show with a scripture reading. So, Tanis, I want to kind of turn this over to you, honey.
Okay. This is from my favorite Old Testament book. I think it is my favorite, Isaiah. And I just read different parts, but from Isaiah 52, the suffering servant, "See, my servant will do well. He will be high and lifted up and honored very much." And from Isaiah 54, "All your sons will be taught," and I'll add daughters, "all your sons and daughters will be taught by the Lord, and the well-being of your children will be great. All will be right and good for you. No one over you will make it hard for you, and you will not be afraid. You will be far from trouble, for it will not come near you. If anyone brings trouble against you, it will not be from me. Whoever comes against you will fall because of you. No tool that is made to fight against you will do well, and you will prove wrong every tongue that says you are guilty. This is the gift given to the servants of the Lord. I take away their guilt and make them right, says the Lord." Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's beautiful. Thank you, Tiana.
Donna?
Comparing that.
Donna?
Yes, Stephen. Yes.
Did you happen to post a Skype number, or do you need me to tell you that later?
Yeah, no, now's a good time to put the number out there. I did post it with the advertisement. I put out 269-591-7828. Is that the same number you're offering up right now, Stephen?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Yeah, we want to open up the phone lines to anybody that wants to call in until we get, you know, our first call. Charles, I want to kind of turn this over to you to kind of fill us in again. When you were here a few weeks ago talking about the Turn Up the Volume tour, what this is about, you know, and how you're going to actually work to empower all of our children.
Okay, and I just, before we start, I just want to make it clear, please, if there's anybody comes up with a question on the panel and or call-ins, please call in and interrupt me, stop me, you know, because I can get going, as we know. The Turn Up the Volume Tour is an idea that was created by several people with their input to me that, you know, we need to do something that's actually proactive and can create immediate results that children will be able to see. This year, the intention is on April 1st or somewhere in that area. I plan on leaving my home, traveling to the closest of the nation's capitals or state capitals, which happens to be Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and speaking in front of that state capital on this year's topic of how to proactively stop crimes committed against children. The basis for this year's tour is, you know, me going out and doing this with inviting anyone that wants to come. There will be announcements as to where I'll be and what date I'll be there in the different capitals around the country. The intention is to do, if we can get the support that we need, to do all 50 state capitals and then come across Canada and do all 10 provincial and 3 territorial capitals in Canada, along with both countries' national capitals, Washington, D.C. in the United States and Ottawa up in Canada. So that's the core of it for this year. Like I said, it's to go out. I'm going to look at each state situation that's going on with their children and youth, and how those states individually. So this isn't going to be tailored as a overall thing. It's going to actually be tailored to each state and what's going on specifically in that state, from input that I get from people and my own insight into watching the trends, what's going on in these states, and how children's rights are being violated consistently, and familial responsibility is being stripped away from good parents and good family members and good parental role models, and our children are put into detrimental situations in places they shouldn't be, with bad parental role models, whether that be a mother or father or another family member, or even an adopted or a foster parent. That's what I mean by parental role model. It's keeping it very clear and concise that, you know, while we understand that studies and the majority show that a good portion of the time it's a mother, there's a lot of mothers out here who are dealing with this issue more rampantly than ever. You know, it does happen across the board on both sides of the bench. And at the end of the day, for me anyway, and my focus, as much as I'm concerned about the parents, it's the child. And what is this effect? How is this adversely affecting the child and the children that are being pushed into these situations? And, you know, I've been coming up with some ideas for people. Like, people ask me, well, some of the things I ask, well, what if I see or hear child abuse? What should I do? You know, we've been conditioned, and I will admit that I, too, this is some of what I would tell people. Well, first, call law enforcement. And second, call child welfare. Well, I'm going to expose something new that I plan on exposing on the tour tonight. I'm getting rid of all that. Okay. Because we, meaning myself and many of us, have lost the focus of what I think could really help. Now, I'm going to give a bit of what I'm going to talk about the tour, because I want to season people. I want to throw a flavor out there to get you to want to come out and be involved in the tour. And that involvement is going to require folks around the country and across Canada, again, to create fundraisers to put money together to keep the tour on the road. Because it's going to require transportation to get from each place to place, and lodging. And folks, I will sleep in a tent behind your house, literally. I will eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and drink water or juice. I'm very bare bones, because I'd rather any additional monies that we raise be actually applied to what can actually help the children. That's I want to make that very clear. You know, that's what this is about. So back to my little teaser. Well, I think we've all lost focus of the first line of defense in the welfare of a child. That first line of defense should not be, and never should have been, governmental or police protection. The first line of defense for that child is their own family members. And we need to hold ourselves accountable, myself included, to, are we protecting the children within our own family structure? Now, I'm going to use some examples here. Look at a situation where a family knows that there's abuse going on to children, and they turned a blind eye because they don't want to get involved, because it's, you know, there's, you know, oh, I don't want my name because it's their family. Well, it's your responsibility. You know, as an adult, it's your responsibility, and it's our responsibility to take that serious And how do we address that? Well, we don't address it in an aggressive manner. We address it in a way that is diverts what's going on, yet gets us to the point. So how do we do that? Well, and who's responsible? I don't care where you are in the family tree. If you're the limb hanging on the end, which means if you're the third cousin removed three times, but you're a part of that family tree, then you have a responsibility. And we're going to let's look at a situation where we have a parent who lost their children, and that parent has family members. Well, those family members should be getting behind that parent and helping that parent. Too often, that parent is left on an island by themselves, and there's no one there to help them. And yet, when it comes to holidays and all these other days of celebratory times, all these people want to suddenly get together as a family. But when it comes to the hard times, when real family's needed, and folks, I don't necessarily mean family in the essence of family, in the essence of blood family. If you have a friend who's going through something, they're part of your family. They're your world family. So this is what we need to do. We need to hold the abuser accountable through family members. If we know the abuser's family members, we need to reach out to them. And we need to hold each other accountable. That will eliminate what is happening and how government is now coming in and usurping an authority onto families and actually adversely affecting and destroying our children and destroying our family structures. Get rid of government control and go back to parental responsibility. Anybody have input on that before I continue?
No, I just want to say I agree 100%. Amen. Everything you just said. And again, with all that happens, all that is entailed in these kidnappings, and especially, you know, as isolating as it is, you know, imagine what that life is like for the child involved, the children involved, and how isolating and devastating and traumatic it is for the child involved, you know, and then the holidays, like you said, family get together. Well, what about the child involved? You know, so who really gets lost? Who really gets tortured through all of this? It's our children, and it's one of the worst forms. In my mind, it is the worst form of child abuse there is, the custody kidnappings. It's the worst form of child abuse, and this is why I am putting my heart and soul into trying to get our turn up the volume to our going, because we need people like you, Charles. Our children need people like you, willing to just lay your life down and get out on the road and do whatever it takes, even if you have to eat bologna sandwiches and ramen and, you know, sleep in a tent in someone's backyard. You're willing to go state to state and province to province in Canada. You know, this is why we're doing this tonight, and I'm hoping that people are really listening. I hope people start calling in and offering us ideas on fundraising and how do we get our children involved now. You know, I bet there's children in, you know, around Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in Pennsylvania, if they're listening right now. I'd encourage any child in Pennsylvania to call in right now and, you know, give us some ideas on how we can kind of even get this started up in your own state, your own state capital.
Real quick, Stephen, I got a couple friends of mine that are reaching out to me. You've got a Lynn Johnson Myers who's telling me she's waiting on approval so she can listen in. I don't know how that works. And then one of my brothers in our lodge, he says he's live online too. Joe, I'll leave his last name. His name. You got a Lynn and you got a Joe. That I don't know if you are you picking up any phone calls coming in. Stephen, are you with us?
Stephen, is your phone muted?
All right, well, we'll continue on.
I'm going to put the number out again just for anybody that might be listening in. Didn't catch it at first. 269-591-7828. Tanis, are you still there?
I am. I'm just keeping it on mute until I have something to say because of the background noise.
Well, okay. Candace, I'd like your input on what I shared so far. Is that something we think we can apply? I think it's up, in my opinion, and please, it's only my opinion. I think it's something we can apply universally no matter what country you're in and where you are.
I agree, and I'm in Canada, and I hope you make it through here. And I'll do whatever I can locally in this province, Manitoba. But I agree. What has happened is people, extended family, immediate family, friends, they may in their heart support children who have been wrongfully taken from a good parent or parents if they've been taken by Child Protective Services, CPS is what it's called in most areas. But people have come to feel absolutely helpless up against the government. So the courts have taken pretty much ownership of our children through, they may be apprehended by Child and Family Services or CPS or through divorce and custody matters, which is more the focus of what Dawn and I have had on the show. But overall, even if people are horrified and know that it shocks the conscience what is being done by government services and the courts, people have become so intimidated by government and court orders and that they don't even speak up for children anymore. So,
and I think that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's more or less my take on things, that even the people that know that this is wrong from having years of, knowing the child and seeing the child ripped away from a loving, protective parent or parents, either, don't do anything or feel so helpless they don't know what they can do. So in a way, they turn their back. The child, what the child, as Donna said, experiences that there's just nobody there for them.
Well, that's why, when I was sitting down, I really like contemplating what can we really do that can have an impact right now? I mean, we know calling the police, that takes a period of time, even if it's a matter of an hour for them to arrive at your home, and then there's an investigatory process, and they get child services involved, and next thing you know, the court's involved, and these children end up in places, and you go, wait a minute, how did that happen? And I think what we all need to start focusing on in all areas of our lives is, but in this particular instance, we're talking about children and their well-being, is that in order to stop government control on us, we need to stop asking the government to control us by reaching out to them for the services that we're looking for them to provide. We need to provide those services ourselves within our family structures, within our friend structures, and within our relationships.
Yep. Well, that's a good point. It's a bit different in divorce court. Most people have no idea when they go in for a divorce that basically the government employees of the judges being government employees as they are because they receive a paycheck from the government presume jurisdiction over children's lives in custody orders until they're 18. People don't realize that. So if women are leaving, for example, domestic abuse or a situation that is untenable, suddenly the children are they're presumed under the jurisdiction of the courts, and most people don't realize that until it's too late. So those aren't usually situations where the police are called first, and they're not usually situations where social workers necessarily get involved. So there's a bit of a different dynamic, but in the end, you're right, Charles. Government is presuming jurisdiction. One, because we often are ignorant to the fact that when we do access the courts in divorce, that this is what happens.
Well, and here's another. Let's talk about the marriage and divorce thing. I was actually reviewing that in my head, like, what can we do? How can we stop all this insanity that's going on in that world? And, why is – I'm just going to throw this question out there, and hopefully Steve will get back on and we'll find out what's going on with our phone lines. But why is it that, you know, how did government get involved in marriage in the first place? You know, I was married. I'm divorced. Unfortunately, you know, but why do I have to go to a government and ask them, get a license from them, a piece of paper signed, and pay them money to say it's okay for me, according to them, to authorize me to marry this individual I want to marry? Why can't I just do that without them? What makes them, where did we give them that power over us to come in and usurp an authority on our lives? We can get rid of divorce courts and everything else if we take away the power of the government to tell us how to run our personal lives. I think that somewhere we need to find a way to stop that. I mean, why do I have to come to you and ask you as a government official if it was okay for me to marry this person? If I want to marry that person, and now we get rid of even the whole the same sex argument, you know,
much off the topic. Does anyone know? Are we still even live streaming? Because we don't have Steven.
I don't. My one friend tells me he can hear everything. I sent him a message, I sent him a question, and he says he can hear me.
All right. So we just don't know where Steven went.
No, we don't. I don't. And he's still showing on the line to me, but I don't know where he is.
Okay. Because I have no idea. I can't even get into the correct chat room. So, I kind of want to. Don't mind me, guys, but I kind of want to try and keep, like, stick to the turn up the volume tour and at least just stick to the, you know, what the children can do and what we need to do in order to get this up and running, which are fundraising ideas. And we need people to be able to call in, maybe even ask questions in a chat room. Tanis, if you're able to see the chat room, or even Charles, if you're able to get in there, or your friend is, to get us some questions. You know, or some ideas. We need to get everyone to pull together. So if we can kind of stick to what the Turn Up the Volume Tour is and what children can do, what can they do at this point to even get this started? This is a tour for them. This is all about them. So I'd like to really see them and empower them be the ones to get this tour going.
Absolutely. Well, in order to do that, we have to get them involved. If there aren't any children listening, then parents or family and friends or anyone who knows a child, encourage that child. Tell them about it. Tell them, hey, you know, there's something going on where your voice is not only going to be heard and listened to, but acted upon. And how can these children get involved? Well, they can get involved by creating fundraising ideas. I mean, I'll tell you what, children come up with some of the greatest ways of creating money. I mean, look at Alex's lemonade stand and all these different things that children created. A child created these things, so I
That's
love
what
it.
I'm saying. Yeah, Donna? they have their most.
Hey, welcome back,
imagination.
Steven.
Donna.
Yes. Hi,
I guess we
Steven.
Have a call.
Where'd you go?
I was on. Well, we've got an echo and we've got a caller also.
Okay, great. What do we do about the echo so we can hear the caller? Okay.
I'm not sure. Caller.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So who do we got?
Hi, so who is this that's on the line?
My name's Joe. I'm calling in. I'm a friend of Charlie's, and I've been listening for a little while.
Hi.
And we're doing great. The phone is a little bit of a problem, though. I'm hoping you can hear me steadily at least.
Brother Joe, I can hear you loud and clear.
Well,
great.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, there's one thing that's been on my mind for a long time. It's been a little while since I've seen Charlie, but ever since I met him, I've been trying to figure out how I can fit in. Where do I see myself helping out? And I have to tell you that the scope of the problem is so huge that somebody has to take this thing and make it some baby steps in there where we can see where we jump in. Charlie, that thing you posted on the internet about more money going to dogs for child abuse, it's shocking and it wakes a lot of us up. But we need some meat and potatoes on exactly where we go and exactly what we need to do to help, because it's just not clear to us, and it needs to be.
Right. I think that's a good point. Like, you know, exactly. That's the whole purpose of tonight's show is what can we do? Like, I even proposed that same question, you know, to Charlie and to anybody who's listening. Where do we start with this? Because, you know what, I like that goal of April 1st. April 1st, 2014, the Turn Up the Volume Tour for all of our children kicks off. I like the fact that it's starting in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You know, I like the fact that it's starting on Child Abuse Prevention Month. You know, so that's what I'm saying to anybody out there. What do we do and how do we do this together? You know, and how do we get our children very involved as much as we can in the next few weeks so we can pull this off together?
Yeah. Listen, I think it's a great idea, and obviously we've got to do something. The problem isn't going away, and we've just got to all step up. We can solve this one. This doesn't sound impossible. It does sound tough. But like I said, if we just chop this up into some baby pieces and let us know exactly how we can step in, I think we'd see more involvement. I mean, every time we see anybody trying to get involved in the newspapers, the story always goes worse, and I think that's part of the fear also. No one wants to make a mistake. A mistake ends up in the newspaper. And doggone it, like I said, if we could just cut this up into some small pieces and say, let's start here, I just think that you'd see more people getting involved because everyone wants to, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely, Brother Joe. I agree with you. And I think some of the some ideas for small pieces would be let's create let's create some fundraising activities that are fun as opposed to just fundraising. In addition, with those funds, one of the things that I've experienced is a lot of people are skeptical on giving because they don't know how it's being used. And that I want to encourage people that with any monies that come in for this tour or anything that I do, all accountability is open to anyone that gave money. In other words, you have full access to how that money is being spent, and your voice is heard if you have other ideas on how, or better ideas on how it should be spent, or other concepts of how it should be spent. That seems to be one of the biggest hurdles that I keep seeing, is that people want to, you know, they feel it, and many people give money to wonderful and great organizations, and yet they don't know how it's being used, and they feel skeptical. And then when you go into like my situation where I am not a 501c3, I am a benefits corporation, which is like a hybrid between a for-profit and a nonprofit, they're really like concerned. So I want to make that very clear that any and all monies, whoever gives it, there is no finance committee that's going to be set up. If you gave a quarter, you have a right to know how that quarter was spent. And you have a right to have your voice heard if you think your quarter could have been spent better so that we spend the next quarter in a way that's beneficial to the mission. And the mission is to change this world for this generation of children and the generations to come.
Attaboy. And you know, we're behind you. We're behind anybody with a great idea. And we're going to get together and talk real soon about all of this. And boy, just appreciate what you're doing, and getting the word out there is step one, that's for sure.
I love you, Brother Joe, and I look forward to seeing all my brothers back at the lodge here as soon as I get back down to Philadelphia. And God bless you guys, and thank you so much for all of your support, Brother Joe, and I love your input on Facebook and our point, counterpoint. It's wonderful input. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.
All right, Brother
Bye.
Joe. Take care.
Thank you for calling in.
You bet. Thank you.
Just so folks are aware who the gentleman was that called in and why I call him Brother Joe, I'm going to raise a couple of hairs out here probably, but Joe and I are Masonic Lodge brothers with the Freemasons. I've got the support of my lodge, of my brothers in the lodge, and as you heard tonight, they're looking for what can we do to actually get behind this and make something happen. And if there's anybody else out there who is involved or knows anybody in the Masonic Lodge, that right there can open up doors throughout this country. There's lodges across this entire country.
Amen.
So, and please, let me just, as far as I know so far, we're not taking over the world. We're not the New World Order. Sometimes we have hard enough order just keeping order among ourselves. So a lot of what you hear, the hype you hear on radio and TV and all that, you know, study it for yourselves and get to understand. You might find out, might find differently. But I want to stay on topic, so I'm not going to go too far into that. But I just don't want to scare anybody off thinking, you know, we're an awesome organization that's focus is on taking care of each other. So how do we get our kids involved? Well, let's look at this. I mean, you know, one of the things I thought about, and maybe some adults and children are maybe listening in, and hopefully some more callers. I know there's a Lynn waiting to try to get in somehow. But anyway, I was thinking of something like coming. What's that?
I said, let's keep those calls coming.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I said, Brother Joe's been a huge supporter. What can a child do? Well, what kind of money does a child have access to? Usually not much. And if it's anything, it's probably change, you know? And I thought, I was thinking one night, man, how can we get a child involved? What kind of money? Well, okay, so let's get them something. Let's encourage children to collect change to change the world. Change for change. That's what I think would be a really cool name to call it for the kids.
That's so beautiful.
They collect the change, and the reason they're collecting the change is to be able to have that change happen. And now we're not just going to – I want to make this – another great idea, I think. And again, please, everybody, bring your input. Don't just take my ideas and think that's what I'm running with. This is a group and a team effort from anybody and everywhere who listens. And folks, if you're listening in later on and this show is ended, please reach out to us. Your opinion still matters. Just because the show ended and you listen to a recording version doesn't mean you can't have an input. We need to hear from you. You know, what can we do? How can we encourage children? What can they do? Well, children come up with the coolest ways, and it's got to be fun for them. But I want those children to know that an adult isn't just – you're not going to go and hand your money to an adult and then expect, okay, I raised money, but I don't know what it's going to be used for. No, you're going to be involved in how that money's spent. You're going to be involved by letting us know what you think needs to be done. And any child that raises money that creates the change for change, your voice is going to be part of what that money is used for and how we do it to get the things that we need to change the world for you, for the children. Now, I understand that some of you might want ice cream and candy and better video games and those kind of things. And those are wonderful things, and yes, we'd love to do that for you, and that can happen in time, but we're talking about change that is going to help. You know, some of you children are living in really good homes, or you families have children are living in good and wonderful homes, and thank you so much for who, those of you who are there. And you children and you families are going to raise money. That change you're going to raise for change is to change the lives of the children who aren't experiencing what you're experiencing. And we're going to ask you to understand that that's what we're going to use it for, but we're going to have you have your input. I don't know of one school person, one child in school that doesn't know someone in their school, a fellow student, a fellow classmate, that isn't going through something that could use some help. So you'll let us know, hey, we've got little whoever, Johnny or Susie, or not necessarily little. We're talking this is going to go from preschool all the way through high school, at all ages involved. So you're going to have – I know someone in my school who's going through something, and I'd like to use my change for change to change something in that particular child or youth's life. And you know what? We will apply the monies you're giving to help with that particular child or children's situations. But you're going to be involved in that. You're going to let us know what you think and what can best impact, because you are going to be able to tell us what's going on. We're not in those schools. We're not in those playgrounds. We're not in those community organizations and clubs and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. We're not there. You are. You hear what this child's telling you. You hear what your peers are telling you. You're going to bring that information to us, and we're going to work together with you to make these changes for these children. Is anybody with me?
That's right. You just said it. And I like the way that you're framing all of this tonight, Charles. You're really, you know, hitting the nail on the head. You're talking about how many this is really going to take in order to really get this tour not only up and running but going, to keep it going. It's going to take all of us, you know, like Brother Joe and the Lodge, and it's going to take teachers and nurses and different organizations, you know, that are all in this fight together, family. It's going to take friends, daycare providers, even the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts. So I really like the way this is going so far. I love the change for change idea, collecting change. I mean, there's one thing kids are really good at. It's finding change and collecting change. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I'll give you, some children may not know how to find change. I'll give you a secret, okay? My birth father, and God rest his soul, he passed away 2 years ago, but he used to walk around, and I used to laugh at him, but he collected a lot of change this way. Didn't ask anybody for money. Every time he walked past a vending machine, he just stuck his fingers in the coin return, and he would find money, and he would save it. And after he saved a certain amount, he'd turn it into bills, and he'd put it in the bank. I mean, so it can be that simple. You don't even have to go out and ask people or knock on doors if you're not that kind of a person. And I understand that, and I respect the fact that there are folks like that. Even adults can raise money that way. Just walk by if you see a vending machine, you see a soda machine, you see a newspaper, whatever it is, a gumball machine. You'd be surprised how much change you could pull out of the machines. And I'm not talking breaking the machines, folks. I'm not talking about beating up the machine and taking money. Just coins that people leave in the coin return. I was amazed. My father would generate like a minimum of $50 to $75 a month. He'd come home with in change.
That's incredible. And I also, I guess, pay phones. Well, not that they exist that much. But I'm just thinking, too, about this idea. I don't know if it's still done, but on Halloween, the little boxes of UNICEF when I was a kid, taking the boxes around and collecting pennies, and how collectively all these children bringing that the next day to school, how much it added up to. So just a little bit that nobody really felt, a few pennies or, you know, a few nickels that added up to a lot of money. And I guess
imagine, if you will, and I know Canada has gotten away from the penny, but imagine, if you will, that every citizen in both of our countries, the United States and Canada, every single citizen gave 1 cent to this tour. Just 1 cent. How much money would that be, and how many changes could we make? 1 penny from every citizen. It would create millions of dollars with the amount of populations both of our countries have. I need to check. What is the current population of Canada and the U.S.? And if 1 penny was given by each and every person, what kind of money would we have? My guess, it's got to be close to $1 million, or if not a half a million, at least 500,000.
And in this day and age, most people wouldn't even mind giving a dollar or a quarter, you know. So it's how I guess the practical question is, because these are great ideas, where would people send it to?
Well, thank you for asking that. Great. Okay, so where are we going to send this to? Well, this goes where I need some people with accountability. And you know what? Our teenagers who may be listening or are going to listen, that accountability isn't always us adults, okay? You teenagers can come in. You're allowed to open bank accounts and savings. I'm asking that each state, we want to find one person that's willing to take responsibility for that state as a treasurer for the funds that are coming in. What is collected will be reported back to the home office, which is my office here in Pennsylvania. But each state will collect their own monies, and that monies will go to one person in each state. So what the intention there is, as the tour arrives state to state, there'll be a presentation at that state directly from the people that raised it in that state. So you're not sending it back to our corporate office here in Pennsylvania. You're going to keep it right in your state, and you're going to be actively involved in how it's used. Now, again, I want to emphasize this again. I can't emphasize it enough. All monies, however they're used, will be accounted for and accountable to anyone that gave. And the monies that each state is going to put together is going – a good portion of that monies are going to go right back into that state that day. We're going to coordinate an effort to find a – organization that is doing what we need to do for children, because that's what this year's is quick, go in and out. Next year's is awesome, because next year's the children are going to be the speaking, because my voice is going to get tired, and I need to let, you know, we need to bring the children up. But this year's is my voice being heard along with I'm not excluding, and I actually encourage any child or adult that wants to come out and have their voice heard as well. This isn't me. This isn't my tour. This is our tour. So if I'm, you know, I'm going to be in your state's capital on a certain day and you can make it out there and you want to, please come on out. Please have your voice heard. You won't come out and waste your time and think I'm just going to listen to him. No, I want you to talk. Matter of fact, you may even take over for me. And I may just have to step aside, which I, again, this is not me. This is us. This is we.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I encourage that.
Yeah, this is for all of us. Charles, I just want to back up a second. Until you're able, because right now we're trying to get this tour off the ground and running, where can people send you know, any giving or donations now? Where can they send that to?
Okay, right now, if you were to send anything right now, because we don't have a formal 50-state or any state campaign at the moment set up, I would suggest that one of two things. One is, if you want to get involved and you know you're ready to and you can collect and you want to do that, collect and hold on to it yourself and be accountable for it. If you feel uncomfortable with that, or you feel that, you know, I may use it some other way, I would offer you the opportunity to send it to our corporate address. I will guarantee you that anything sent to the corporate offices will be held in an escrow account with accountability to anyone that brought that sent the money. So I'll give the corporate address for those that want to do that. But again, and I want to make this – I got so many points to make clear, because we've, one of our biggest needs and the hardest thing to get is the financial support. And there's a lot of good reasons for that, a lot of good reasons people don't want to put their good money out there because they're concerned. I am believing 1,000% that this tour is going to – well, it will start. It doesn't matter. I told Donna the other day, if I don't have a penny of support by April 1st and I have to leave on my bicycle and ride a bicycle – by the way, I already figured out how long it'll take me, how many hours it'll take me to ride a bicycle to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania – I will start this tour. It will get off the ground.
Amen.
I'm committing to that, that I will get the first leg of this going no matter what, whether there's penny one or not. After that, I'm going to have to rely on you folks, everyone that's listening, everyone that wants to be involved. So that being said, the belief that the tour is going to happen, we need to have that, and we need to make that powerful. But I also want to say this and make it very clear that if for some reason – unforeseen to us, the tour doesn't happen. So we're going to have people that ask that question, and you need to hear the answer, okay? If for some reason I get to Harrisburg and we don't have the support to get me from Harrisburg to the next state capital because we haven't been able to raise what we need, any and all monies that were sent to support this tour that aren't used, that aren't used, will be reimbursed to the person who sent it in full. There, none of the monies, if the tour does not happen, and I don't even like using those words because I'm going to believe it's going to happen, but if the tour does not happen, your money just doesn't magically disappear and be unaccounted for. All monies will be returned in full. But folks, I'm not asking you to collect money believing you're going to get it back. I'm asking you to collect money, get behind this thing, believing that your change is going to create change, that your monies are going to use and be utilized for a beautiful thing that's going to change this world for our generation of children now and generations to come. And that's the mindset we have to go into this. But I want to have that back, that support, that understanding, and that guarantee to you folks that please, no matter what you give, you have the right and you will be involved in how it's used.
All right. So what's the corporate office address for people? It's just so we can kind of get this out there. So
okay,
for those who are feeling a little moved and want to send.
Absolutely. Well, right now, in the future, there will be a P.O. box. But right now, I'll give the address you can send to right now. It's you would send it. We're doing this. The tour is being done under the ICAP Task Force. That's I as in India, C as in Charlie, A as in Apple, P as in Paul, Task, that's T as in Apple, or T as in Apple, right, T as in Tango, A as in Apple, S as in Sam, K as in Kite, Force, that's F as in Francis, O as in Oscar, R as in Roger, C as in Charlie, E as in Echo. So that's ICAP Task Force, The address is 7529. Oh, I'm sorry. It's ICAP Task Force Incorporated. So make sure you put INC on there. Any checks that are sent, please send them to that. Money orders, however, I prefer not to send cash just because of the possibility of cash getting waylaid in the mail. But there are safe ways to send cash if you need to find out how to do that. The address is, current address would be 7529, that's 7529, Rocky, that's R as in Romeo, O as in Oscar, C as in Charlie, K as in Kite, Y as in Yankee, Ridge, that's R as in Romeo, I as in India, D as in Dog, G as in Golf, E as in Echo, Road, R, D, then the town is East, E-A-S-T, Stroudsburg. That's S as in Sam, T as in Tom, R as in Ralph, O as in Oscar, U as in Uniform, D as in Dog, S as in Sam, B as in Boy, U as in Uniform, R as in Ralph, G as in Golf. Then Pennsylvania, you can abbreviate that P-A, that's P as in Papa, A as in Apple. And then the zip code's 18302. That's the current corporate office address for the ICAP Task Force and for Charlie's Angels, our speaking company. Those will have P.O. boxes in the very near future so that monies will go to a P.O. box. But in the meantime, if anyone feels led and wants to, first of all, I want to thank you so much for being willing to help. Know that your monies will be used in the way that we promise you, and you will be involved. If you send anything, please also send your contact information, name, address, phone number, emails, so that we can reach out back to you, both with a thank you card and with a questionnaire of how you want to see these things used and how you think it'll be best utilized so that we can incorporate everything that I'm talking about.
This is wonderful. Can I just double check with you? I have ICAP, I-C-A-P, Task Force, Inc., 7529, Rocky Ridge Road, East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, 18302.
Correct. And any checks, money orders, or if you find another way of putting something together, please send them to ICAP Task Force Incorporated. They will be deposited in an escrow account under the ICAP Task Force Incorporated with the subtitle Turn Up the Volume Tour. Once I have that account fully set up, I will make that account available, account numbers available, so in case people want to do a direct deposit to the account and save the check fees and money order fees, once I have that escrow account set up, I will make that information available as well. But folks, it is going to take seed money to get that going. So if you do want to send something, that'll help me get that account rolling.
That's awesome. And also, Charles, what about a phone number in case someone wants to give you a call, they have any questions, they want to call you directly?
Absolutely. My direct line is area code 215-626-6260. I'll say that slower a little bit. It's 215-626-6260. That number will get directly into me. Currently, that is also the number for the task force and Charlie's Angels LLC. So, you know, we're also working on getting a separate phone number, but again, we need to get the seed money to get all this thing set. I mean, I had already spent everything I had over the last year. We had corporate offices, we had phone numbers, and I couldn't get the money behind me, and my personal finances ran out. So I had to close my offices in Philadelphia, and you know, I've reestablished myself in East Stroudsburg here. But we will have with your help, with each and every one of yours help, we will have all this reset. And again, any monies, full accountability, full responsibility, and full involvement with everybody that gives and gets involved. And if you know corporate sponsors who want to get involved, please, it's the same goes for them. Everybody will get involved, and if we can get some corporate people, what a beautiful thing that will be.
Yep, exactly. Beautiful. I just want to check with you again, Charles, the phone number. I have 215-626-6260.
Absolutely, right on the money.
Okay, great. Stephen, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about a short break?
Oh, okay. Sure. I'm still getting an echo from you, though, Charles.
I apologize. I'm not doing anything different. I'm sitting in the same spot. I haven't moved.
How short of a break, Donna?
It doesn't matter. Just a few minutes would be fine. Anybody else? Is that fine with you guys?
I'm good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. I'll put a five-minute song in.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back, everyone.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. I guess we still have everyone, Donna, Tanis, and Charles.
Yes, hi, everyone. Charles, Tanis, and Stephen, welcome back, and everyone else who's listening in. We have opened up the phone lines. We welcome any calls. You know, if anybody wants to give a call in, I can say the number again. It is, Stephen, let's see, 269-591-7828. So if anybody wants to call in with any ideas on how we can get the children's Turn Up the Volume tour going, we welcome any child to call in. We definitely want to hear from children tonight. But Charles, you had touched on something there right before the break, and I just wanted to talk about it a little bit more. I wanted our listeners to hear something. And this is why I'm doing whatever I can to get you out on the road. This isn't the first time you've been trying to help all of our children, you know, and doing it in the name and honor of your brother, your own brother who was murdered in the foster care system and never received justice. You or your brother. But you've spent a great deal of money in the past year alone helping various families as much as you could. And to the point that you now have an empty bank account and you've even had to apply for welfare, but you're still willing to get this tour going to the point of even on foot or on a bicycle.
So well, that's what you do when you're committed. What's that?
If we can kind of talk about that, you know, what you've been doing to help families and what did happen this past year.
Well, you know, I'm this is an area where I really struggle because I didn't do and don't do what I do looking for recognition or looking for accolades.
Sure.
But, you know, over the last year, a year ago, I was blessed with an opportunity to have a fairly decent amount of money, something that actually could have supported me for about 10 years easily if I kept it all to myself. But I'm not that kind of person. And not being that kind of person had me say, you know what? I want to create real change right now with this that I have. Over the last year, some of the things that I was blessed to experience because of the finances that I used, that I didn't use for my own purposes, but I used to help others, I got to witness a mother who hadn't seen her children in 3 years reunited. I got to see a family whose home burnt down on Christmas Day, who lost everything, that two little girls, all their Christmas presents, all their birthday presents, I got to see those families' faces light up when every one of those gifts was replaced and a fund was set up, a fire relief fund was set up for that family. I've got to see a man who was homeless on the street because of a loss of a job and loss of finances and his dogs had to be put into a kennel. I got to see that money go and help that man find a place to live, reunite with his dogs, which were his family, and get back on his feet. I got to see a woman who had given her a whole life to working for the Lord and working heavily under her family's ministry, who was in the midst of losing everything she had. I got to see her not lose what she had. I mean, this is immediate results. I got to see children who needed food, who needed clothing. I got to experience what it was like to have the financial ability to actually do something then. You know, not to just I'm not knocking prayer when I say this. Prayer is necessary and powerful and needed, and I love it. Please keep it coming. But to know that I not only could pray, but I had the money to actually be able to do something, and to watch the impact it had on those lives has been immense. Now, I say that, and I'm giving you success stories, but in having this money, I've also learned that there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing out there. I put a lot of money behind people and organizations and places that I thought were in the same mindset on doing things to actually create a difference and a change, a positive change, by the way. I want to be clear. When I talk change could be in either direction. So I want to make sure we're not talking about any further negative. We're talking about a proactive, positive change in our children's lives for this generation, generations to come. I lost a significant amount of that money putting it behind people, places, and organizations that, because of my lack of looking further into them and my total trusting attitude and believing that everyone involved with wanting to do something better for children was really, that was their focus, I allowed myself to lose quite a sum of money putting it behind people who weren't doing what they told me they were going to do. I don't want to throw names out there, but I want to just say that so yes, I have, you know, like I said, over the last year, I had a corporate office in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, that I paid the monthly fees for. I had a corporate secretary that I paid the salaries for. I had the phone numbers. I had all these things. I had the corporate bank account set up. But it was all my own money, or money that was left to me, which I want to make it clear. Not my own money, meaning my hard-earned sweat equity money. It was money that was gifted to me through an inheritance that I decided needed to be used to pay forward to help other people. And I did that. And I will continue to do that. It doesn't matter even what the little I have now, which is at the moment nothing, as was indicated. Yes, I am humiliated that I had – and humiliated in a way where I don't deface and say that, you know, applying for public assistance is a horrible thing. But for me, knowing that I actually used everything I had to help most everybody else. Yes, I did do a little few things for myself. I didn't totally, you know, give myself nothing. I mean, I have a nice small home here, a nice little, you know, and I'll I was ashamed to admit, but I'll just say what it is. Yes, I live in a trailer home. I live in a double wide. If you want to call me trailer, whatever it is, hey, fine. But this is my little home, and nobody can take it from me as long as I keep my fees paid, you know, my taxes and whatnot. But that being said, you know, yeah, I didn't set away any escrow money for myself to pay because I believed, and I still do believe, by the way, I believed that I would be able to find the speaking engagements that were willing to bring me in and have me speak for a love offering without any set fees that would be able to help, you know, with that. Well, that hasn't happened yet, but I don't believe it won't happen. I believe it will happen. I believe that we have listeners and people that are going to listen that are going to find a way to make that happen, because it isn't my voice I want you to hear. It's the children's who voices that my voice is going to represent. Those are the voices that you need to hear through my voice. I am going to be pleading and talking to you about, from a child's perspective, what's going on in this world right now and what can we do to make those changes. And we're going to be bringing those children out to speak for themselves where they feel comfortable in doing, where their parents are comfortable in doing, or their guardians, or whoever's responsible for them. You know, so yeah, I mean, it's cost me what I would consider a fortune, you know, not millions of dollars. If it was millions, I would have done that. I'm still going to do this because I'm believing that the success is going to happen, and I'm going to continue to use any additional monies that I don't leave for everyday living expenses to help other people. That's what I did. I need bare bones. I'm not setting up any fancy bank accounts for myself. Matter of fact, that's all in my business plan. My basic needs are what's going to be met every day, and the additional monies are used to go and help these children. I hope that explains some of what you're asked, Donna. If you want to ask anything else, please feel free.
Yeah, this is what my point that I'm trying to get at, Charles, is you're just so amazing that, you know, you've invested all, you know, not just your entire finances, your inheritance, but your heart and soul, everything. You've invested everything to the point that you now have nothing, you know, from those who take advantage and things like that, you know, and that's battle with child abuse, you know, trying to fight and scream for our children is being shut down by those with more money and more power, those who don't want to be exposed for the abuse and things like that. I just think, Charles, you've just been so amazing, and you've really just put everything into all of our children. I want to challenge everyone listening or who's going to listen to this show to step up and do the same, and now support this cause, support the children's Turn Up the Volume tour, and really get this off the road. I mean, we've got, you know, possibility of corporate sponsors, and churches can even come together, and, you know, like we were saying, families, friends, organizations, communities, it's going to take all of us. You know, I'd really like for others to, I want them to hear and see what you're all about, and see why this is such an important tour.
Absolutely. And I also want to make, I just want to clarify something, folks, so you understand. I am not destitute. I am not homeless and living on the street right now, okay? I didn't put myself in that position. Unfortunately, because of our economy the way it is right now, people aren't purchasing things. But I have a lot of stuff that I have out there for sale. So if you want to help in some way, but you need to have something back, reach out to me. You name it. I probably have it for sale or can get a hold of it at a price that's worth you, so you get something back. Also, I'm willing to work. Hey, there's another way to raise funds. We need to raise funds in your state or your province or your territory. We're talking about my Canadian friends to the north. Find me work in your area. You name it, I'll do it. When I'm up in Canada, I work on a horse farm cleaning stalls. You know what? It puts money in my pocket, but this tour, that money won't be going into my pocket. That money's going to be used to go into the pockets of the children's future. So I'll work in your – if the only way you can say is, hey, Charles, listen, we created a car wash and we need you to come work the car wash to generate the fundraising thing, I'll come wash cars. If you have a bake sale, you want me to bake cakes with you or cupcakes or put – I'll do that. If you want to make lemonade, if the circus comes to town and they need somebody that's got to walk behind the elephant with the big bag collecting it as he falls in. I'm do it. I don't care what it is. That's another way we can fundraise. And folks, I mean it. It sounds funny, but I'm that serious about this.
No, and it's good. It's good to bring the humor in it, and I appreciate that, and I hope other people do, because it's saying how genuine you are.
And with all sincerity, I want to go just back real quickly. While we had our little break, I did a quick check on the populations of the United States and Canada, because we were talking about the penny idea. The total populations of both of our countries is 347 million people, okay? You take 347 million people times one penny, that comes to $3,470,000. If everybody gave one penny, we would generate $3,470,000. And you know what would happen then? We would never have to fundraise again, because that money would be invested into accounts that would generate the interest to make this tour happen from now to eternity. Imagine one fundraiser, one penny from everybody in both countries. We could change the world forever by investing that money and having every year, and eventually not even needing the tours, having that money available. Imagine almost $3.5 million in a bank, in an account, set up to change lives from one penny. The power of a penny. That might be another thought. I mean, the change for change and the power of a penny. Maybe we'll start a penny drive as well.
Yeah, those are good ideas. Now, I think at this point, as I'm listening and, you know, you hear the passion behind, there's a lot of echo on my end too, obviously now I can hear the echo too. Can you speak a little bit, Charles, about what kind of message you would like to give? Like, will you be the voice for the children? a little bit more about the message that you would be taking to each of the capitals?
Sure. Well, the message for this year, the theme for this year, the tour is always going to be called Turn Up the Volume. The theme for this year is, how do we stop crimes committed against children? Or what is, and some people say, well, what is a crime committed against children? I'm not familiar. What does that mean? Well, that's my terminology for what we commonly call child abuse. Child abuse doesn't just happen in the homes. Child abuse happens in the courtrooms, in the boardrooms where administrative decisions are made that come down upon children and families' lives. Child abuse is beyond the supermarket aisle where you see the parent or the adult hitting a child. I'm talking crimes committed against children from governmental, administrative levels all the way down to the street. I'm going to be speaking on, and not just my voice. I said this earlier and I'll repeat it. My voice this year will be the main voice, excuse me. But if anyone wants to be heard and needs to be heard and is passionate and wants to get involved, please, your voice will be heard at your state capitol. If you can't get there, but you want to be heard, I offer you to send me a YouTube video or an audio spot. I will make sure you're heard. I will do everything I can to have every voice heard. But that's this year's focus, is crimes committed against children from the corporate level to the street level, from the courtroom to the courtyard. In the United States, I'll say from the outhouse to the White House. In Canada, it'll be from the parliament all the way down to the I don't have anything good that goes to parliament. Outhouse to White House works, but from the parliamentary offices all the way down to a local office in a town. I mean, we need to realize that this is, while it's child abuse, these are crimes. These children are not being sexually abused. These children are being raped. These children are not just being abused. These children are experiencing domestic violence and torture. Okay? This is the real names behind the watered-down names that we used that make it give it kind of a almost politically correct, easier-to-swallow pill. I'm going to open up wounds. I'm going to tear through things. I'm going to call it what it is. And at the end of the day, it's about what it is and what we need to do to make it stop. And that goes back to accountability from your home, at all levels of your home, to government, to administrative, to everywhere. If that helps, I hope I answered your question.
That's great, and I would say continue if you can continue unwrapping that, because how we could make it stop, what your vision is.
Well, the first way I introduced earlier was, you know, let's not use our courtrooms as much as we do, even excuse me, in a divorce situation, you know, and I'm familiar with that. You know, we're quick to run to the legal system, to the court system, to an attorney to, you know, what can I do? Hey, if you hear your family member is gone, oh, by the way, if you attended a wedding, and I'm getting a ruffle feathers here, but I'm going to say, if you attended the wedding, you weren't there just to have a party and congratulate the couple. You have a responsibility to that couple that when they're going through a hard time, to do what you can to help them come back on track. Now, it doesn't always mean you're going to hold that marriage together, because you know what? Abusive situations, no one belongs in an abusive situation, and we should not, and I do not encourage that people who are in an abusive situation stick in that situation. You need to separate yourself from that until the person abusing does what they need to do to love themselves enough to get their life together for themselves that they can actually be in a relationship with somebody. But that's going to take families and friends holding the people accountable. Hold the abuser accountable. Hold the person committing these crimes accountable from that level. Let's not rely as much as we have. Let's make government the last resort as opposed to the first resort. I don't know if anybody's grasping my idea here. If anybody has contrary ideas or thinks that's not a good idea, please, I want to hear it. This is just my idea.
Donna?
Oh, I'm here. Sorry, my phone was still on mute so he could talk. Well, yes, no, I definitely agree with what you're saying, and I'll just second that whole, you know, anybody that's in an abusive situation or suffering child abuse or domestic violence, that no one deserves to be in that, and the person that's committing it is nothing but a criminal. And I think that your tour, the Children's Turn Up the Volume tour, is really going to put a name to all of this. I think it's, you know, what the kidnappings, the custody kidnappings that are happening in our courts, you know, either through the Child Protection Services or through the family law courts and civil law cases. I think your tour is really going to bring this out in the open, which is what is needed. The public is so unaware of the injustices and the torture and the level of child abuse happening behind our courtroom walls. So I really think this is the tour that our children need. You said it, child abuse, you know, any child suffering, any sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse by those around them that are supposed to love them. You know, this tour is for those children. Any child that, you know, wants to take a stand, you know, if you haven't suffered any child abuse, this tour is for you too, because this is what this is all about. All of us empowering each other, and especially empowering our children to come together. So I just love the whole mission of this tour. Charles, I do have a question for you. You were talking, the last time you came on the show, you talked about the years. You kind of have levels and stages of this tour. Can you talk about what it would look like, you know, year after year, what your mission looks like, your vision, I guess I'm asking?
Well, my vision, which is our vision, because this whole tour concept came up from a collaborative effort from many people around the world. It was actually Australia and the UK were the first people to talk to me about possibly doing some sort of tour. And, you know, originally it was going to be a world tour right off the bat, but when we looked at the enormity of making that happen within a matter of a few months, it was like, okay, we were going to build up to that. So what is the plan? Well, for 2014, as I said earlier, the plan is, and I will take off, my naysayers, you will see me leave my home and head to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in April. So the tour will take off. The engine will start, and we will get rolling the locomotive down the tracks. But that being said, 2014, yes, the majority, and I'm hoping maybe I won't have to speak as much. You folks are going to come out, and we're going to have your voices heard. But the majority of this tour is going to be me speaking with some videography and things done so we can document, you know, the 50 state and capital tour and then the 10, you know. We're looking at a total of 65 stops between the two countries. If we hit everything we want to. So that's this year's tour. In 2015, and this is where, again, I talked about this the last time, I need everybody's – this. I need adults. I need lawmakers. I need teachers. I need children. I need your help right now. Before this tour starts, we need to already be planning for 2015, because 2015, the intention is by the time the 2014-15 school year begins, and – I'm not certain in Canada, but I know in America the majority of our schools start, you know, in August, September area and end in the May, June area. So before August, September of this year, which, by the way, this year's tour will be wrapping up around that time, because I'm looking at 4 to 6 months of being on the road to do this, to hit all 64 stops. But that being said, by August, September of this year, we need to have set a curriculum that we could present to the schools and the school districts to present to their students and their classrooms and their teachers, where the children for 2015 are going to be the ones speaking, and how they're going to speak. Well, that's because we need that. The way they're doing it is a curriculum that we're going to create where the children are going to use their creative writing skills, their speaking skills, or if they don't have creating writing skills, they're going to learn how to creatively write, expression skills on expressing their inner feelings that they keep bottled up by writing, by putting it on paper. And then those who are willing to step out of the comfort zone, or already have the comfort zone of speaking, are going to then also be afforded the opportunity to have their writing, their inner feelings that they wrote, actually spoken out by them. So in 2015, we're going to have children come out to every state capital and every provincial and territorial capital and both countries' capitals. So for 2014, it's a North American tour where I'm the predominant speaker, but anyone else is able to come out. 2015, I'm coming out as a support basis behind the scenes with the children's voices being heard through this curriculum of how we're going to create, where children who are able to come out and speak in their particular states, capitals, are going to be heard. And again, we're not, no child voice will not be heard. If you live states that are huge like Texas and California and Canada, every one of your provincial and territorial places are huge. If you got, if they live on somewhere and they can't get to their capital, we're going to afford that child the opportunity to have a YouTube or an audio, and we're going to present it at that particular capital's Turn Up the Volume tour. We'll have video screen set up, because by 2015 we're going to get over all the humps and lumps and bumps in the learning curve in 2014, and by 2015 I'm believing we're going to have, you know, video screens up and monitors where we can put children from other parts of the state that can't get there, we can put what they have to say up on the screen, and then they're going to be heard. And in 2016 I'm hoping and believing that we're going to turn Up the Volume tour loose on the world. By 2016, the United States and Canada should have run so well in the 2 years prior that leadership will have taken over. My leaders who are going to present themselves are going to take over, and they're going to run those tours. They're going to make the United States and Canada happen with the children's voices are going to be consistently heard year after year. The idea of this tour was to bring the voice, turn up the volume on a child's voice. Well, the way we turn it up is from bringing the children up. So after 2015, every year it's children's voices, inundating, giving them the power. Children don't have finances. They don't have voting capability, but they have a powerful thing that we're not utilizing. It's their voice. That's going to be the focus. In 2016, I'm intending on working together with the United Nations and other international organizations on doing this around the world. The anticipation that is 2015 or 2014, 4 to 6 months on the road for me. 2015, 4 to 6 months on the road for me. More probably the 6 months because, you know, of the time bringing children and giving them the time they need to actually be heard. I don't want to rush any child along. I want them to be heard. There will be obviously parameters so that all children have the opportunity to be heard. In 2016, I'm looking at putting a year of my life on the road, traveling around the world, doing what we're doing now. By 2016, we'll have already had the curriculum set up in 2015, and we can introduce this on a world level to schools and educational institutions around the world to bring their children out to speak, and for children's voices to be heard. And in parts of the world where children are in fear of being heard, that those children's voices can be heard through audio. We don't have to identify who the child is or where they're from and their video, their faces. And even in the United States and Canada, you know, there's going to be children, and rightfully so, and parents who are concerned, hey, I don't want my child exposed this way. I don't want to take a chance that even if my child isn't involved in any of this, but they want to be heard, that their exposure might cause them some duress. We need to respect that, and we will. You can send an audio tape. You don't even have to identify who you are on the audio tape when we think, and then I'd prefer you didn't if you weren't comfortable with that. But we need your voices to be heard, because the power of a child's voice is going to change the world. The power of a child's voice is, to me, like the drip coming out of a faucet. You let that drip sit long enough, it will wear away what's going on around it. It will wear away what it's dripping on. If we give our children's voices the power of a drip of water, and it comes down strong enough, and it turns eventually into a water faucet and a waterfall pouring out, imagine the change that can happen in this world by giving the children the one thing they have power with, and that's their voices. And that's what I want to do.
I think to add to that, besides the audio and the visual that you're speaking about, children could also send letters, and they may want to include their name, but they may say, if you read this, don't say my name, because, you know, the privacy thing. So they can speak through the written word also.
Great idea. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know what? I didn't mean to leave that out. I kind of thought already we're talking about writing, but you're right. Absolutely. Please. And, you know, credit will be given in the way that the child and the child's family members, okay, because, you know, children, we're empowering you, but I also need you to know that while we're empowering you, as a child, you still have a responsibility to the parental role models in your life that are treating you in the way that you should be treated in a proper, wholesome way. We're going to pull the plug on the power of the people that aren't treating you properly, and we need your voices to help us with that. So when I say I need you to be willing to have boundaries and understanding that, yes, sometimes you're not going to get everything you want because it's not in the best interest of – I apologize for my other phone ringing. I can't do anything about that at the moment. I'll try to address that. But so, yeah, great, writing is awesome. We'll speak it. I would think that we would want to incorporate at least the age of the child so that people can understand the perspective it's coming from, what age group. But, yes, please, I think writing's wonderful. And, again, I apologize for the phone ringing in the background. I'm trying – oh, good, it went away. So that's what I get when you have multiple lines. Is anybody still with me?
Yeah, I am. Charles, could you explain a little bit how you would be letting people know of your itinerary, like how to follow you and get messages to you? I know you posted the address, but where would things be posted on an ongoing basis so people could tune in? And also what you're going to be posting, like if youth and children are sending you YouTube's audios or letters that you would scan, or you could just post the words if they, you know, they don't want their handwriting scanned. But those messages are very powerful. And are you going to have a specific page or website, or do you have that right now?
Well, I am going to set up a website for the Turn Up the Volume Tour. That website will be open to around the world for everyone to come on, and there'll be the ability to – there'll be chat rooms in there. There'll be the ability to send private messaging, emails, and whatnot. How will you track me? You know, I want to take this bit by bit. Okay, how will you know when I'm coming to your town? And maybe I'm passing through your town en route to a capital, and you want to catch up. You want to maybe hand me something on the street. Your what you have to say, or you know, your change for change that you were able to generate. Well, I'm working with someone that will have me a tracking device, a GPS tracking device, where you will actually be able to see where I am at by tracking me. There will be an itinerary put out showing what states I'm going to each week. They'll be put out the week previous. So you'll know a week in advance what states I'm coming to that week. I'll show the tentative route. Now, I say tentative route because depending on how we finally solidify transportation, I mean – I'll put it here. I told you I'm willing to ride my bicycle to Harrisburg. If I've got to do this entire tour by bicycle, but we raise the funding to be able to make that happen, I'll ride the entire tour by bicycle. Now, obviously, I can't ride to Hawaii. It'd be a little hard to get across the water unless I got a paddle bike, and I guess I could do that. But boy, that would take months. it goes back again to this thing of the will to get behind it. But get me back on track. I lost my train of thought here. Hello?
Donna?
Oh, Janice, you had asked him the question. So I was
just how people could track you when you say that you can't say exactly the day that you might be arriving, but you were going through the town. So I guess to keep track in between the capitals is also what you were getting at.
I intend on saying the exact date I'll be in each capital. That's it's just that whether The reason I said the route, I apologize for if I was confusing there. Some weather conditions may change the route. You know, if we're coming through some, we may have to change how we're getting to that state capital because of weather or road conditions or traffic conditions. Right. So, but the benefit behind that is that with a GPS, you'll be able to tell. But yeah, it'll be announced. It'll be out there what states I'm coming to, a minimum of a week. If I can get it ahead of time, I mean, I'm hoping that by the time I leave in April, I'll already have all 50 states in Canada lined up. At least I know without a minimum of a doubt, at least the order of how I'm going to go. What state after what state, and I'm coming across Canada. The intention is the last state in the United States to hit is going to be Alaska, obviously, because it's on the northwestern portion of Canada. And then coming out of Alaska, I would come across Canada. And I want to say I want to challenge our United States, my fellow countrymen of the United States of America. I have got a huge amount of support coming out of Canada. An immense amount of support. I can almost, I could, if I needed to right now, I could have in every provincial, every province and every territory in Canada, I can have a person already set in place that will direct the fundraising, that will be responsible for handling that, you know. And I realize it's a little easier in Canada, not beating up on my fellow Americans here, because we're only talking about 13 different places in Canada, you know, I know we got 50 here in the U.S. But, you know, we need to get – if we believe, and I believe, and I need you to believe, the way Donna believes, the way Candace believes, the way Stephen believes, the way a lot of our listeners are believing, that this is going to happen and we're doing this because we're going to make a change for children, then we need to get this thing going, and I need more help in the U.S., and I need plenty more help in Canada. Please, nobody in Canada, please feel like, oh, you got off the hot seat. Charles doesn't need my help. I need your help, too. I just know that I've got a lot of support there already, but we need more. We always can use extra support because this isn't about me. It's about our children.
Right, and exactly.
The children are going to need support, and you know what? When the children start speaking, they're going to need even stronger support. Their knees are going to be knocking, their teeth are going to be chattering, you know, no matter what level they did, because they're doing something that's unheard of. They're going into uncharted territory, and their families are going to need our support. We're going to need to get behind the moms and the dads and the aunts and the uncles and the caregivers, and we're going to need to be there for them and support them and encourage them, and also to be there when the hard times hit, to be there when, you know, those moments where what we thought was going to be a positive thing maybe didn't turn out that way, to do what we need to do proactively to turn that around as quickly as possible, and to support those families too. So it's a very broad scope, but it has to be, because it's the reality of what we're dealing with. This is a monster that was created that we're going to get back under control.
Yes, exactly. You said it. And Charles, I just want to say, you know, we here on the Giving Children Hope show, you know that Stephen, Tannis, and I, we're standing behind you 1,000%. We're going to do whatever we can to get this tour up for all of our children. So I want to offer as well for anybody listening that we're going to be following and tracking Charles off of the Giving Children Hope Facebook page. You can find on Facebook, and there's a link on the advertisement even for tonight's show, the Empowering Children segment show. So follow the Giving Children Hope Facebook page that links to this radio show, and you'll be able to track Charles as well, because I know, Charles, you said you're going to be creating a website for the Turn Up the Volume, and when you do, let us know, and we'll post it on our page as well to help people kind of track you and follow you as far as where you are at the time and what state you're in or province in Canada. I do think you're right. You know, we've got a very serious, you know, level of child abuse and child injustice going on throughout the world. Right now is an opportunity, and this is the way I'd like everyone to look at it when they're considering what they can do to help all of us get this children's tour going. But consider the fact that this is a chance, an opportunity for all of our children right now to be creating history. by participating in this tour, being involved in it, even from the grassroots level, you know, at the very beginning, trying to get this running. Our children have the opportunity right now to create change and create history that could go down in the book. So I want to encourage everybody to just join in this together, protective parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, families, professionals, expert witnesses, corporate sponsors, clergy, the lodges, everybody, our children especially. I want to encourage any child that's listening or hears this show, you know, to get involved and contact you, Charles. You know, we're going to put the contact information out again one more time just because the show is close to ending. So I just want to make sure everybody has it. A phone number for Charles is 215-626-6260. And for anyone that's, you know, willing or wishing to donate to this cause to get the Children's Turn Up the Volume Child Abuse Prevention Tour going, they can send any into ICAP, I-C-A-P, Task Force at 7529 Rocky Ridge Road, East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, 18302. So, you know, I think, Charles, you know, this is just an incredible opportunity at this moment that all of us have before us, and I'm just really hoping and praying we all join together and all of us take a seat in this and help get, you know, this tour going.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, one form of communication that we forgot to put out, and I want to get that out there as well. Email. I didn't give an email address, and please forgive my negligence in that and oversight. I didn't do that. So, I want to a contact email. Okay. If you want to get involved with the International Child Abuse Prevention Task Force Incorporated itself, you can email at info. It's info. at ICAP, that's ICAP as in Paul, task, TASK, force, FORCE .org. If you want to become a member of the task force, and there's currently no fee to become a member. We're working on how to generate some finances to make that, you know, make that a viable organization that's going to have what it needs to continue to run. But so if you want information on that, if you want to get me directly, it's C as in Charles, J as in Joseph. So CJ Stecker, that's S-T-E-C-K-E-R, J-R for junior. So it's C Stecker Jr. or C Stecker J-R at, and again, ICAPTaskForce.org. That'll get you directly to me. The other one will do, and both get directly to me, by the way, just an FYI. When I get the info one, I know those are people that are both want to work together with me, but want to be involved as a member and a part of the task force. And then we start looking at how we can integrate and implement and collaborate what they want to do, what their skill sets are, what they feel comfortable doing, to make this world better for children. And any and all ages are welcome to join the task force. There's no age limit. And I also want to touch on one other thing that I meant to say earlier. Crimes committed against children cross all socioeconomic, spiritual, all levels. So no one is excluded. Churches, synagogues, spiritual places, non-spiritual people who you know, don't believe in it. This is about children and your children. So no one's excluded. You know, yes, we speak the Bible because that's where we are and that's what we believe in our spirituality. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to be out here championing for children who don't believe in a God, for children who believe in a different spiritual being than what our core is. That's not the case. This is clearly for every child, no matter where, and every human being, every family member, every friend, every neighbor, no matter where you are in that area of your life, no matter what your, you know, race, creed, religion, sexual preference, all barriers are, they're left at the door because there is no barrier that should be held up when it comes to protecting a child and giving the child their voice.
You said it. That's exactly it. And when it comes to child abuse, and especially the serious form of child abuse that we're seeing behind courtroom walls, this is really when it is going to take all of us taking a stand together in order to make the difference needed for our children. You know, this is just the kind of child abuse that one person can't do alone, and one child cannot be in it alone. So all of this is going to take all of us. You know, with this Turn Up the Volume tour, even just spreading the word around that we need, you know, fundraising ideas, and we're looking for donations, we're looking for whatever, anything and everything possible to help get this tour going. This is for all of our children. And that's the mentality that every single one of us needs to be carrying in the forefront of our minds. What can we do for our children?
I would just echo that, because I think even if people have grown children or they don't have children, if they're a neighbor to children, something like that, I don't think there's probably a person walking that isn't, if they opened their eyes, that wouldn't know of a child who is being abused physically or sexually. And there are signs, there are symptoms. Often a child is not going to be saying that they are to just anybody, but you can often tell that there's concerning things going on, and to pay attention to that and think about, okay, even if I were doing this to help that one child that I've seen with my own eyes that I have concerns about but don't have actual evidence or proof, right, that there's something going on. To me, the vision that I would have in this is changing legislation out of it, children knowing that they can be the voices to change legislation. Often their voices is way more powerful than 100 adult voices. So in their telling their story, even if it's written again and it's not with their name, so they're not, so their confidentiality is kept. But what needs to happen really in society and in the government, if, you know, the government services are involved in child protective matters, is to believe a child that is courageous enough, brave enough to disclose abuse, if that's what they're experiencing, they need to be believed, not treated with suspicion, and their voices canceled out, as they often are when they do make reports to the authorities. And that's certainly happening in family courts and around the world, really, where there are family courts, that if a child has reported abuse, they're almost never believed. Or if they are believed, Dawn explains this better, but there's a concerted effort to actually cover it up. And and that children are not, the other hope I would have, that this moves toward the youth speaking out and saying, we're not property. We are not objects to be forced into custody situations until we're 18. If our parents didn't get along and divorce, we should be, you know, if our parents are both good parents and loving parents, there should be no custody orders on their lives. If there's abuse, they should be protected as opposed to being forced to go where they don't feel safe until they're 18, as somehow the state has quietly taken over children's lives as if they are state property until they're 18.
Right. Well, and that goes back to, some of that is actually our fault for reaching out to government, for the government to do something that we should be doing as family members and fellow citizens of this world. So, unfortunately, while we're pointing a finger, you know, there's three pointing back right at us, and we really need to, you know, it was eye-opening to me when I sat down and I started realizing, wow, you know what? I've been telling people for years, you know, reach out to the police, reach out to the, you know, Child Protective Services. And if Child Protective Services was really protecting children, we wouldn't have what we have. Now, you touched base on physical and sexual abuse, and I challenge this. The emotional abuse that our child protective system has placed upon children by bouncing them from home to home, by yanking them out of a situation and putting them into a strange place, while maybe that's not physically abusive or sexually abusive, the emotional abuse and what that does to a child's mentality that can drag itself through in a child's lifetime, through their adult life and the remainder of their days. I mean, we need to do everything we can to stop that as well. And I know you didn't mean to exclude that. I just wanted to throw that out there. So how do we do some of that? These policymakers, these administrative, these court people, these judges, they need to be held accountable for the decisions they're making, because when they are making these decisions, they are making what I call a parental decision. They are putting themselves there as the parental role model when they're making an administrative policy, when they're making a law, when they're enforcing the law, when they're sitting behind the bench and putting a child back out into a situation. They need to be held accountable for what goes on to that child, so that both on the good and bad. Hey, when we have and a lot of times we focus so much on the negative, we need to, because that's what we're trying to stop. But we also need to congratulate and accolade the successes that child protection has had. We will be able to do that even stronger when we're able to slow down and then stop the defeats and the horrid stories. And not just stories, real facts. I mean, a story can almost be called fictional, and these are not fictional stories. These are what almost seems fictitious, that somebody even with a mind of, to the level of a Spielberg couldn't come up with the things that we hear that are really going on, that are real life, true stories that seem so fictitious and out of this world insane, but they're real. It comes to that level. Every one of us, everybody who's making a decision for a child at all levels is accepting the responsibility as a parental role model. Make sure the decisions you're making are actually going to benefit that child and their well-being, so that when that child grows up to be the adult that you currently are, they are going to be a better adult than you are. Want the children to be better than you, and do everything you can to help that child get there, so then those children who become the adults will be able to mimic what we've taught them and what they've learned. And this thing can go for generations. And folks, this is a proactive way to end child abuse, to end crimes committed against children, to take away the judicial horrid things that are going on, the administrative level policies that are being made, that while they are made in what seems to be the most benefit for a child, when you see that are adverse to that, we need to change them immediately and cut through the red tape of waiting and going through another vote and all that. No. If a child died in a situation, then the very next day, all those policies need to be looked at and changed, and the policies that need to be changed need to be changed immediately. We don't need a 90-day, a 6-month, a 2-year, a 5-year study and millions of dollars spent in those studies. We know child died, something wrong. Let's look at what we currently have. How can we change it tomorrow so that tomorrow another child doesn't die? Because while those studies are going on, more children are dying. More children are being hurt. More children are being abused. More children are being placed in detrimental situations. Wouldn't it be wonderful if one day we can talk about child protective services in a totally positive light and say how wonderful child protective services is doing at all levels, and how they're working together with families, how they're doing everything they can that is actually in the true meaning of the best interest of the child, not the skewed meaning that it's become, the true meaning of the best interest of the child, by supporting families first, keeping the child within the structure of the family so the child doesn't lose their total identity, working together with our courts. We're going to need courts. We know that. But we need courts that work together with the people, and the people that work together with the courts. What a beautiful place.
You've raised a very important point that in judges acting in the role of a parent, that they have to be held as responsible as a parent. And I dare say with that, if that were legislated change, right, that take away the immunity from the judiciary, I mean, I think people would get on board with that because right now with that immunity, they are never held accountable for willfully blind, negligent decisions. And bottom line, it comes down to it is emotionally abusive. Going back to what you said, emotional abuse, it is emotionally abusive to not listen to a child and force them to be where they don't feel safe, where they've expressed that they're afraid, where they've disclosed there's abuse happening. That's erring on the side of caution to believe a child. And the opposite is happening in a small percentage of cases in family court. So there's that. And then, like you said, removing children from homes wrongfully by child protective workers and putting them often in situations that are dangerous. There are situations where children do need to be removed from homes, and that's where the Child Protective Services should be working. And there are, we do need family courts to protect children from abusive parents.
Absolutely. And you know, we need to, it becomes, you know, we hear the word system a lot, and we are all the system from, you know, from all levels. And you know, we focused a little while here, and I know we got a few more minutes left of the show, so I want to make this statement real quick. We focused on, social workers and or caseworkers, as you call them, or whatever, you know, whatever your town or thing calls them. A lot of times they get the really, excuse my French, crappy end of the stick. Because a lot of them are stuck under policies and guidelines and procedures that if they don't follow, they're going to lose their jobs, their incomes, their livelihood, their what they need to support their families. We need to make sure that, you know, these administrative level people who are creating these policies, again, these lawmakers who are creating these policies, not just the judges who make a decision and put a child in a detrimental situation. Yes, absolutely, they 110% should be held accountable, but also the policymakers that create these things, the administrative level people that create these guidelines that these social workers must follow. I mean, I've known social workers that have had to go into homes and remove children that the social worker didn't want to do, but because of the guidelines and the policies and procedures set down administratively, they had no choice. They had to do what they didn't want to do or lose their job. Now, that's where I differ, and I'm not telling anybody else you need to do this. I would lose my job. I would give up my job in a second, which is why I haven't gotten into social work at that level and accepted any positions in those places, because they'd be firing me within days. Because if a child needs me and I need to color outside the lines, I'm going to dance on the edge. Matter of fact, I'm going to jump way outside the line if that means what I'm doing is going to actually be in the, again, using these words in the way that they're meant, in the true best interest of that child. If what I need to do based on your policy and procedure shows me that that is not going to fit this case, not all cases fit the same bill, then I am going to do what I need to do. And I'm going to encourage social workers and caseworkers that, you know what, it may take that level of commitment for you to stand up to say, heck no, we're not going to take this anymore. We know what we are ordered to do is not benefiting children, and we're going to take a stand. And I'm going to tell you that myself and many others, and I'll speak for myself right now because I haven't heard from anybody else, and I'm sure I will, we will stand behind you. We're going to hold everybody to the same accountability, and we're going to change policies and procedures that are not acting in the best interest of the child, that are not acting. This isn't an act. This is real. You know, acts come and go. This is reality. And we're going to help you be able to do your jobs better so that you are, because there's good, wonderful. I mean, personal story real quick. My last social worker, I'm still friends with him today. He was my last social worker in 1976, folks. Okay, we're talking 38 years ago was the last time this man was involved in my life in the child protective system. This man went to the court system where I was a ward of and said, do not send this child back to where you're going to send him. It is not conducive. It's not in his best interest. And the courts did not listen to this man and sent me back to a place where I suffered 5 more years of multiple abusive situations. That's not the topic of the story tonight, but what I want to say is,
bless his heart for taking that stand for you and still being in your, you know, in your life now. And I know we only have a few minutes left, and you're right, Charles. This is a topic we could just have many shows on. You know, I do think we only have a few minutes left. Is there any final things you'd like to say, Charles, regarding the Turn Up the Volume tour?
Absolutely. Children, you like loud music? Grab that dial and turn up the volume. Make that volume be your voice. Make your voice, if you sing, if you dance, if you talk, if you write, turn up the volume on your voice. Adults, encourage your children, encourage all children to turn up the volume. Turn up the volume on their voices. Turn up the volume on what they're doing, what they're experiencing. You know, this is what this tour is about. It's getting the voices heard, getting them heard, listened to, acted upon, turning up the volume, increasing the heat, making people have to do what we need to do to make children's lives better, to encourage children, to give them better educational opportunities, give them good food, give them good clothing. We don't need government to come in and usurp more authority upon us. We need to take self-responsibility to stand up for ourselves and say, government, thank you, but no thank you. In this instance, we as a family, as a community of families, are going to work together to do what we need to do for these children without your help. Thank you for being there. If we need you, we will come to you.
Yeah, so exactly.
That's what I want to say. Let's turn up the volume on taking back the control that we've so freely given away to governments, administrations, and positions and places and policies by turning up the volume on our children's voices, on our families' voices, on our community's voices, listening to each other, supporting each other, and getting behind each other, and holding the abuser, the criminal, who's hurting that child, holding them accountable for what they're doing. Not the Uncle Joey or Aunt Susie, and not to use those names as abusers, but we know they're doing something, but we're fearful, or mommy or daddy or aunt or uncle or whoever, you know, next door neighbor. Well, we know they're doing it, but we're afraid to do something. Get over your fear, because it's that child who needs us to step up and get rid of that fear. And if you have that fear and you genuinely don't know what to do, reach out to one of us. There's a multitude of us. I'm not by myself here, who will stand in the gap for you, because
right.
We're here for the children. We want to help you too. Thank you.
That's right. That's right. That's very well said. And, you know, I just wanted to add my own little piece of advice. It's something I've always lived and worked by, even as a guardian ad litem, or even the hands-on parenting program. Just everything I've done in my life, even as a clinical social worker, my whole career has involved children and helping children in one capacity or another. Whenever it's come down to child abuse and a child looking me in the eye and telling me anything that has to do with any form of abuse that child is suffering from anybody in their life, the one thing that I've always done, the first thing I've done, I should say, when a child discloses abuse to me, is I hug that child. I don't make it my job to determine whether that child's lying to me or not. I'm going to give them a hug just for what they went through for telling me. So I just want to add my own advice, you know, not only just believe a child, but give them a little comfort, too, for what they just went through for telling you. It doesn't matter who you are.
And open up that comfort with the understanding that, you know, sometimes a child may not be open to a hug because of maybe they experienced some sort of physical thing. So ask the child, you know, would you like a hug? And then
exactly.
and definitely have your arms ready, because I'll tell you what, many of them are going to run right into them.
Yeah, have some comfort. So just before we get ready to wrap up, the way we end our shows, we begin with the scripture and then we end with the scripture. And it's typically one that would jump out at me, and it would be one that I would read. And tonight I did something a little different. I let a very dear, dear family friend of mine, Kathy, you, Garrick. Actually, blindly picked the scripture reading for tonight to end the show, and she picked Psalm 47, which I think is just so precious. So I just want to take a minute to read this to everyone, 1-9. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellencies of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our king. Sing praises. For God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted. Amen. I want to say thank you, Stephen, for producing this show and hosting it on the multiple networks. Thank you to all the networks that are picking up the Giving Children Hope show. You know, we appreciate this. This means so much to all of us, Tana, Stephen, and I. Charles, thank you for coming on tonight for the Empowering Children segment of the Giving Children Hope. We stand behind you, Tana, Stephen, and I, and everybody else with Giving Children Hope. We want to get the Turn Up the Volume tour going and get it going by April 1st. So thank you, Charles, for coming on the show tonight, and thank you to everyone out there that's listening and doing whatever you can to empower all of our children.
Thank you, and remember, change can create change and will create change. So get your change ready and watch change happen.
Exactly. And just so, contact information, anyone can find me on Facebook. I'm Donna Farris, F-A-R-R-I-S. I have my own personal Facebook page. I accept any and all friend requests. My profile picture is the Augusta Police Department evidence photo of me hugging my son. Also, you can find more information on the Giving Children Hope show. You can find it on the Giving Children Hope Facebook page. So if anybody wants to click like on that page and follow our posts regarding the weekly shows. So, and thank you again, Tanis. I'll let you have a chance to say goodbye. Tanis?
You still there, Tanis?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Until you have the website, Charles, do you want people to contact you by Facebook? Because that's a user-friendly way of, if in case they can't find the email address and all of that, so they could private message you or post on your page. Is that correct?
Earlier in the broadcast, I put out the info@icaptaskforce.org and my direct email. That'd probably be the best way, because there is a website set up for the International Child Abuse Prevention Task Force. I don't want to discourage Facebook, but a lot of times I'm at my 5,000 max on Facebook, and I lose a lot of contact with people. So that'll get you definitely through me. But yeah, please, if you're on Facebook. Well, I've learned that, please, and if anybody else will notice, make sure you check your other mailbox, because there's usually a lot of stuff in here you didn't know existed. So if you message me on Facebook and you're not on my, quote, friends list, or as I call them, contacts, please know that I know that it'll be in the other box, and I will check and I will respond. I do respond to all messages that are sent to me. So, yeah, reach out to me, Charles J. Stecker, Jr. It's Charles J. Stecker, S-T-E-C-K-E-R, Jr. on Facebook. Feel free to private message me. I will respond back to you. Feel free to follow me. Just because I'm limited to 5,000 Facebook contacts or friends, as they call them, everybody and anybody can follow me. I put the following link open. So, and if you're following me, you will get a personal message from me welcoming you and thanking you for coming on board. So, yeah, reach out. This is a we effort, not a me effort. So let's get it done.
Great. Awesome. That's right. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Love you, Steve. Love you guys, ladies. Thank you so much. God bless.
Good night,
thank
everyone.
Thank you. God bless.
Good night. Thank you.